Nation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to that fourth request or petition of the Lord's Prayer, which says, give us this day our daily bread. It's a petition that reminds us of our dependence upon God, our Heavenly Father, that everything we need for our bodies, for our physical health and life, for serving Him and in His kingdom, comes from Him. It does not come from us, ultimately. It does not come from our power and our ability and our might. It comes from Him. For the very fact that we pray, give us our daily bread, reminds us that even our food is not something we deserve. But it's a gift from God. It comes from His hand, of His love and provision, not only for creatures in general, but especially for us, His set-apart people from the world. And that should make us a truly thankful people, a truly grateful people, that we have such a loving Father who even takes care of our physical needs. And so in our study this afternoon of the fourth petition or the fourth request, we want to look at the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, which are found in Proverbs 30. I don't know about you children, but the book of the Proverbs are very interesting and fascinating. And when you get to those last two chapters, chapter 30 and chapter 31, you find two characters there that are unusual. The sayings of Agur, and then in chapter 31, the sayings of King Lemuel. Both are very interesting chapters, and I encourage you to read those chapters. You'll find very interestingly, chapter 31, it talks about the virtuous woman or the godly wife. In the Hebrew Bible, the very next chapter, or the very next book in the Bible, is the book of Ruth. Now, if you want to know what a godly, virtuous woman is, we see in the Old Testament, right next to that is Ruth, the perfect example of that. Now, coming back to Agur, we don't know who Agur is, other than this reference to him here, nor the other ones who are mentioned here, Ithiel and to Ukal, whether they're his sons and grandsons or other important figures of that time. Agur may have been a seer or a prophet, for as we see from verse 1, this is his oracle, or some translations have utterance, and was a word commonly used of prophets or men of God. In chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother is said to have had an oracle or an utterance as well, a message from God to be spoken for edification and wisdom. But it also may be that that word oracle is really a place or a location. You may have a note or footnote in your Bible that mentions something like that. Some translations render this word Massa, which according to Genesis 25 was one of the sons of Ishmael who settled in what is known as the Arabian Peninsula. So it might be that Agur and even King Lemuel were descendants of Ishmael. And if that were the case, it would indeed be amazing. For it would mean that one of Ishmael's descendants was not at war with Israel, but actually living in faith in Israel's God and was used by him for the upbuilding of his covenant people. Indeed amazing. But in any case, we don't know that much about Agur. But what we do know from Proverbs chapter 30 is that he was not only a very wise man, but he was a very humble man. A very humble man. He says there again in verses 2 and 3, I am the most ignorant of men. I do not have a man's understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have knowledge of the Holy One. We might say he's kind of like a Peter or a John. A common, ordinary man that God has called and set apart for extraordinary things. Like Job, we see in verse 4 that he cannot begin to wrap his mind around who God is, the one who has made the heavens and the earth. Indeed, such knowledge is beyond him. This God of whom he speaks and represents is too great and too wonderful to fully know. And for Agur, his humility before God not only concerns God's mighty person and His works and His wonders and His ways, but also His humility is seen in His own heart of how He handles His own life and also in His prayer for His daily bread. And so we see in verses 7 through 9 His humble request to God for help concerning his daily bread. The very message of the fourth petition. And so this afternoon our message is going to be praying for God's help with regards to our bread. And we'll see specifically with Agur, first his passionate plea for only his daily bread. We'll see that in verses 7 and 8. And secondly, his unfortunate end apart from his daily bread, verse 9. In other words, the reason why he only wants bread and what will happen if he doesn't get his bread. Now, as we said, Agur is a humble man. He's a man who admits that he can't fully fathom and understand the mysteries of God's power and might. And he's also a man who can't fully understand the frailty of his own life before God. Frailty not merely in the sense that we're physically weak and frail, but that even spiritually we're weak and not as strong as we would want to be. For as you can see from verses 7 and 8, Agur confesses that he has weaknesses. He confesses that he has sins, that he has faults that need God's divine attention and help. He says, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Could it be that these two specific things were thorns in his flesh? Could it be that these were things that he daily wrestled with and struggled with as a believer in his life, nagging sins that never seemed to be able to be mastered or overcome? Very well could be. And thus we see his heart coming out before us because he is in the presence of his holy God, called to a holy work, and he sees his unworthiness in it all. And we see how serious he is about this, how he longs that these things be brought into submission before God. He says, "Do not refuse me before I die." That is, let me see these things brought into submission to you while I have my breath. Let me see my life glorify you in these things when it comes to my tongue and when it comes to my food. That was Agur's desire and longing, that his life in every part, if you will, would give praise to God and would be a song of thankfulness for his grace. He was a man who was truly thankful for all he had, and he wanted his life to show it. May that be the desire of our hearts as well as we live on this side of the cross, knowing the fuller knowledge of all that we have that is come in the Lord Jesus Christ that this brother did not have. But one of the things Agur desired for his life was that the Lord, Jehovah God, would keep him from falsehood and lies. In other words, children, he wanted a pure mouth and a kind tongue. He didn't want to be a person who was known for lying. He didn't want to be a deceiver. He didn't want to be cruel. He didn't want to hide his sin with his words. He wanted to be kept far from such things. Literally, he wanted them in exile from his life. "Curb my tongue, O Lord, and keep me from the desire to speak lies and to tell falsehoods." Yes, one thing that Agur desired to see in his daily life, that it was his mouth would be pure and his tongue would speak the truth. And only when we know our sin and misery can we pray for such things. For the devil works hard, you see, to get us to stumble over the things that we are weak in our life. And therefore, we have to pray about them. We have to pray, even as Agur did when it came to the things of his mouth. Know your heart, beloved, and pray for God's working where you are weak and in need of God's sanctifying grace. But then there's the other concern he has for himself, and that concerns his bread. He says again there in verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Concern for what comes out of his mouth and what goes in his mouth. Now, Agur, whose name means gatherer may have been a farmer of some kind. We talked about Peter and John as fishermen. He may have been a farmer, a man who knew well the blessings that can come from a good harvest or from strong sheep. Your blessing. That means that if we fail to pray for our daily bread, if we fail to depend upon God to give us what we need, and in turn just go out and buy whatever we want, and eat what we want, gorging ourselves on these things, or being the kind of people who put their trust in money, or in their work to provide, rather than God, then we realize that God might respond to us by not blessing our food. We might find that he doesn't give us the nutrients and vitamins we need for our service. We may find that with time we put on weight or we begin to have poor health. Maybe God even works in such a way that we can't buy our food as much as we used to teach us a lesson. If we fail to humbly pray for our bread and fail to seek him for the essentials of our life, then maybe we'll receive the fruits of our ungrateful and greedy and selfish ways with responses like these. That's something for all of us, young people and people young at heart, to keep in mind in our food-focused, consumer-focused day and age. So be wise with what you have. Be thankful for what you've been given. And always look to God for your daily supply. That's what Agur did in his life. He only wanted what was needful for the day, and that's what Jesus teaches us here in this fourth petition of the prayer. And so, dear friends, when you pray, ask for your daily bread that you might be strong and healthy and fit, full of energy and vigor, enabled by God to use your good health for his kingdom, for his church, and for his glory. That's the first thing we see about Agur when it comes to this fourth petition, his passionate plea for only his daily bread. Give me the essentials of life, Lord, for my service to you. But also notice the other thing noted here about him, that he talks in verse 9 about his unfortunate end without his daily bread. That sounds terrible, unfortunate end, but we'll explain what we mean by that. As we mentioned, Brother Agur is well aware of his weaknesses. He knows that too much or too little might be too much of a temptation for him. And so he prays for only the food that God has allotted to him. But then in verse 9, we see what might happen to him if he doesn't get his daily bread. He says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." Agur poses two extreme situations, and yet his fears are very real and genuine. First, he says that God may give him rich abundance, so much so that he might have too much, or as another translation has it, that he might be full. He might be full. Now, being full doesn't sound like a bad thing, does it? I mean, think about coming home from work. You've been working out in the field. You've been working hard at the store. You get home. You're hungry. You sit down to a wonderful meal. You eat. You're full. You're satisfied. That's a good feeling. That's good. There's nothing bad about that. But what Agur is speaking of is different. He's not talking about a mere temporary feeling, but he's talking about a long-lasting satisfaction. In other words, to be so filled, or to be filled here, means to be saturated, to be filled to the full, and never to be in want. And so what Agur is afraid of is that if God should give him such kind of great abundance, that he would forget God. If he had too much, if he was full to that satisfaction where, you know, it doesn't seem like he's ever going to be in want again. He's afraid that he would forget God. You may recall that Israel was warned about that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 8. Not to forget her God when she came into the land of Canaan, and had crops and cattle and homes that she did not earn, that she did not give, but that God gave to her. And so when we say forget, or when we read verse 9, which says that I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? It doesn't really mean that a Gur would literally forget who God is, as if God would be wiped from his mind like your hard drive when it crashes, wiped completely. No. It's his way of saying that he might be so blinded by his abundance that even though he knows it all came from the Lord, he still might declare in his proud heart, who is the Lord? Who really needs the Lord? You see, a Gur doesn't want such an unfortunate end. He doesn't want such pride in his life. He does not want such arrogance to swell in his heart, because he knows that if he's given such wealth in his sin, he might just do that. He might. He knows his limits. He knows his weaknesses. And so if he doesn't have his daily bread just enough, he might sin in that terrible way before God. And dear friends, we know in our heart of hearts that we don't want that for ourselves either. We don't want to use God's blessings for sinful means, or to have such an arrogance or pride or self-sufficiency that we would deny Him in the use of it. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that with what we have, we can be content. That which God gives, we should find our sufficiency in and not ask for more, desire for more. He says there in verses 8 through 10, but if we have food and clothing, we shall be content with that. The basics, the necessities of life. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. With the basics we shall be content. But a desire for too much, to be full beyond the bounds of ability, can lead to a trap and even to destruction. And so when we pray this petition, we pray for what we need, for only what we need. And if God should choose to give us great abundance, well, then He will give us the strength and the grace and the humility that we need to properly handle it. For think of Solomon. God gave him great riches, but only after He blessed him with great wisdom. And so like a Gur, we pray for only what we need, lest we deny our Lord in our selfishness, in our pride. But then notice the other side of the coin. That not only does he pray out of fear for riches, but also poverty too. For if a Gur doesn't have his daily bread, he may be poor. And that may lead him to steal. And as a result, dishonor the name of his God. That word for poor means to have the Lord take from you what he has given. Think again of the example of Job in the book of Job. And so if a Gur should be made poor by God's providence and sovereign working as with Job, then he might resort to, of all things, like stealing, taking, going after what other people have for himself. Can you imagine that? A humble, godly man like this stealing? How could that be? Wouldn't he trust in the Lord to feed him, even as Elijah did, as he was by the brook in the time of famine? Or as David did when he was on the run from King Saul, hiding in the mountains and in the caves? No, a Gur knows his own weaknesses. He knows his limits. And such a turn in life may cause him to turn from God's promises. And instead of seeking food from his hand, he might try to take it with his own. We may think that Brother Gur is exaggerating, or maybe a bit too paranoid, maybe a bit too worried about that which may not happen. But really, he's being honest. He's dealing truthfully with us concerning his sinful heart. He knows his tendencies. He knows his weaknesses. And so he prays in light of that. for help to the Almighty God, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. Do we know ourselves well enough to pray for neither riches nor poverty? Are we filled with such thankfulness and love to God that we pray in such a way that we would not dishonor His name by our sinful actions or words? Agur, by the grace of God, was such a man. He didn't want to come to the unfortunate end of dishonoring God's name by stealing, because he would do just that. Because you see, it would be showing contempt for God's promises. It would be rejecting the truth of His provision for him. That God was not as faithful as He claimed to be. And Agur would not want to do that for anything, and neither would we. Neither would we. But if we don't have our daily bread, we too may respond in that way. In fact, you might say that not only does Agur have in mind here the fourth petition, if you want to use that language, concerning our daily bread, but also the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. For as you will see in your own life, young people, as you grow more and more in the faith, the more you seriously pray this petition, calling on God for your bread, you'll see yourself, you'll see your weaknesses, you'll see your frailties and realize, like Agur, how much you need the grace of God to keep from following in the way of rebellion, to keep from a heart of ingratitude and thanklessness, so that you might always walk in the way of obedience, trusting your Almighty Heavenly Father for every need that you have. You'll see that more and more as you grow in the faith and as you sincerely and with a heartfelt disposition pray this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And so, friends, how would you be if you didn't have your bread? Jesus wants you to pray, and He encourages you to pray. Pray for what you need. Pray for the essentials of life. And be thankful for what He gives. If it's little compared to some, then be thankful. Because though you might not have a lot physically, you are rich in the Lord. And if it's more than what others have, then be thankful as well, but also be humble. Because what you have comes from God, and not ultimately by your own power or strength. He is the one who opens His hand and provides for every living thing. And so, like Agur, dear people, be thankful. Pray often. And pray knowing your weaknesses. Pray asking for just enough, not too much, and not too little. So that in all things you may give glory to God, be a blessing to each other in the body of Christ, and be a witness to this often greedy and self-sufficient world, that it's our Heavenly Father who supplies everything we need through Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Amen.